This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Uma Pagan Apke Pagan alongside Ian McNally and Bahe Yusuf. Truth or Dare is the brand new supernatural thriller from Blumhouse. This one is directed by Jeff Wardlow. He is, of course, the guy behind Kick-Ass 2 and The True Memoirs of an International Assassin. It stars Lucy Hale, Tyler Posey, Violet Bean. Jason Blum is the producer. And it is a teenage supernatural slasher type flick in the vein of Scream and I Know What You Did Last Summer and Final Destination.
More Final Destination,
I'd Yeah,
say.
A little bit of... It has elements
it's
of all
rules
three.
Horror.
Yes, it's a rules horror film with a certain number of twists and turns that still keep it quite interesting.
Yeah, maybe.
No? Never convinced? I had fun.
You had fun with it?
Yeah, I think I had fun. Let me tell you why I had fun. Every time I go and watch these kinds of movies... I like the ones that spend a lot of time coming up with creatively violent ways to kill people.
Yeah, I like
that
too.
And that I like.
But the thing is, like, I'm going to be beating my old drum again. Like, Final Destination 2, Final Destination 1, even in the first one, they had fun with their own premises. Do you remember Devon Sawa in The Shed, where he'd safety-proofed
everything?
And the movie was already making fun of its rules, but they had to go in order and everything. This seems to come up with its own rules, but I never really felt like the rules were solid. They're playing truth or dare, and once you're in, you're in, and you have to say the truth or do the dare, or you die. And like they start having visions of this of the friends and having a weird face on them who's asking them to truth or die. But then it appears on a wall, and then it appears in someone's arm, but it's not really there. And then they're hallucinations, but they're not. It's like if you tied someone up in a room, would they be able to do anything to themselves?
Yeah, you tie them up in the room and leave them to it, right?
Yeah, they wouldn't. Yeah. They'd be all right, wouldn't they? So I didn't feel like the rules were as well thought out as maybe they should have been, because those things have to be airtight. Otherwise, you start thinking about them.
Also,
the other thing is when you meet these people, I'm happy they're all dying.
Yes,
not the nicest.
There's one or two of them in particular, just like I'm looking forward to seeing you die. You're just a horrible human being.
I mean, for me, I was telling Uma at the end of the film, like, the opening montage is a creative way of getting the story going, but it's very distracting.
Oh, the iPhone, the phone stuff, the Snapchat filter stuff.
No, the photo stuff when the opening credits.
Yeah, but it's like, I mean, like, it's just basically their holiday via Snapchat.
Yes, and it's a creative way of doing it, but it's very distracting.
Yeah. Vertical video doesn't look good in cinemas.
No.
It's great on your phone.
Yeah. But, I mean, for me, this is not the typical kind of movie I'd go on. I tend to avoid these kinds of films, right? But
because we feel like we've seen it all before.
Yeah.
A little bit.
In a lot of ways, we have.
Yeah. We have. Yeah, absolutely.
And my big gripe with this one is that you know the rules of the game at this point. Why are you still going away by yourself? Yeah. Why are you walking alone?
Why are you having a huff? What's it, Marky? Like, she's constantly having a huff with people because she's a horrible person. Like, it's everything that she's giving out to people. Like, you've just brought to light all my inner... flaws that have been hurting people for years.
Yeah, all of this is your fault, right?
Yeah, all of this is going to your fault. I'm gonna sulk.
And so
that's kind of annoying. So that's it. But I did like that it builds up to there is some real bad interpersonal stuff going on between some of these people that is great when they're finally having it out because the game is forcing them to.
Yeah.
I just felt like that should have been everything. Like there's two or three before that where it's like, who cares if they get it?
And I think that's what I enjoyed about it. I think I enjoyed the concept of truth or dare. And the idea that telling the truth is almost always a horrible thing in these situations.
Yeah.
It brings out the absolute worst in people.
The way that they're asking the truth is they already know what you're... It knows that this is a bad thing you're going to say.
Yeah, it's a setup, right? Yeah. You're setting up this big sort of explosion of emotions.
And I think that played out really, really well. That being said, being a rules horror film, there's an interesting twist at the end, which we won't give away. And I think it builds up, it plays out the familiar to an unfamiliar end. And I think that's where it succeeds.
Yeah. And I like as well that it echoes like a tone poem, like the Star Wars movies. The stuff at the beginning where they're talking about, at the very beginning, they're talking about, would you, you know, doom the rest of Mexico if the five of us could survive, or would you kill us if everyone else outside would die? And obviously the bleeding heart main character is like, oh, well, obviously I'd kill all of us.
Yeah.
All of Mexico.
It comes back around.
It comes back around nicely. Yeah, I did like that.
And so the ending does elevate the film. However, getting to that ending, you're right, can be something of a slog.
Yeah. It's a paint by numbers, right? And that's the problem. A lot of the time, it's... you're just asking yourself, why are they doing these stupid things? Like, I understand you know, your deepest, darkest secrets are coming out, but maybe don't just huff away when you know, when three of your other friends have had really bad things happen.
I mean, you know
this is serious.
Calling Penelope a day drinker doesn't make up for the fact that she should be on the floor already with the amount of vodka she's apparently been drinking throughout that day.
Yeah, and also, it's when it comes around to her turn, maybe don't put her upstairs away from everybody else.
Yeah, you really have a problem with people going away by themselves.
No, I do, because it's the kind of thing where, like...
more so because they've addressed all of this in Wes Craven's Scream movies.
Yeah.
You know, they've addressed it multiple
times. I'll be right back! You know, you can't... those kind of tropes. They're like, don't run up the stairs, go out the front door, get a cup.
So I was thinking about it while watching this film. How would you... do we stop making the teen slasher movies, like how we stopped making romantic comedies?
No, you just got to put more effort in. Look at Happy Death Day was a thoroughly enjoyable movie by the end of it.
It was.
And it's literally Groundhog Day with snapping. Like, the premise is dumber than a bag of bricks.
But it was so much fun.
It was so much fun because she was a horrible person,
yeah,
like Marky and most of this cast. But you got to see that person go through change. It's change and development and everything else. You don't see these characters develop much.
You just see them die.
I mean, ICE should have been on their backs for the number of times they went back and forth to Mexico over the course of this movie. It was ridiculous.
I was like, where do they live? Is it just right by the border?
Yeah, and there was a time lapse where it was like, it's been an hour. And it was like, why did you time lapse an hour? It looked like 3 days outside a caravan. I was just imagining, does this caravan have like stairs down into a basement or something inside? It's like...
yeah, that was...
that was the odd.
Yeah, this whole thing about driving. And I like how there was at one point they just go, oh, she's just 3 hours away. Let's go. Yeah. And they just jump into the car.
When you're in America, 3 hours is not so bad.
Yeah, I hear that too. But it's just, I don't know, that driving back and forth through Mexico. Like, is the custom agents going, hang on, you've been through this place, you know, twice in the last 2 days. Are you trying to sell drugs?
Yeah.
Are you drug runners? What are we doing here?
What are you doing? And we followed you and you got this weird empty mission, so you're definitely up to something.
Yeah.
I think as well, it gets off on the wrong foot because, like, they live in the exposition house.
They do.
I've never seen very many bedrooms that have another room off the bedroom.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a weird thing, but it's like...
it's the perfect place for the exposition house, right? I could walk up to you and be like, Ian, ever since your father died, I've been your best friend.
Yes, you have to come on spring break with me because I know you want to save the world because you're a bleeding heart. It's like every time that was going on, I kept thinking of Cabin in the Woods.
Yes.
The house looked a little bit like it and the school looked a little bit like Sunnydale. I was like, is this homaging Joss Whedon or is it just trying to do that and failing?
Right.
I don't think it was trying to homage Joss Whedon at all.
It just felt like it, though.
It felt a little bit like it, but... no, I think it was trying to play with this concept, and maybe it did squander the truth or dare concept a little bit because it feels like a concept that's ripe for a horror film.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I'm sure Blumhouse has Spin the Bottle, and Monopoly, and you know, Clue
coming soon from
all
Blumhouse
coming
Preachers.
Soon, right? Exactly.
Just Snakes and Ladders.
Snakes and Ladders.
That'd be great.
That's a Dwayne Johnson movie. You know it is. This time, he's lost both legs.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. even the concept of Truth or Dare, they sort of twisted it a little bit, which made it like Truth
that
or Dare
worked
extreme.
As well. That was interesting.
I thought
enough.
I really liked
yeah.
that. Yeah, that was quite clever.
I think the one thing I did enjoy about the movie in particular was the setup in the beginning where they're all playing Truth or Dare. I quite liked that piece went on for as long as it did.
With Deadbeat Daniel Radcliffe.
Deadbeat Daniel Radcliffe. And I love that it went on because I thought, one, it introduces the concept to people who are unfamiliar with in a global audience, maybe, if you don't know what Truth or Dare is. And also, it really sets up how nasty all of these characters are.
Yeah, and how they really probably shouldn't really be that friendly to each other.
To each other,
friends.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I think that was a very clever decision. They didn't brush past that, which I thought worked. Mm. But you're right. When they were back in California, when they were back at school, that middle bit felt a little flabby.
Except Brad. Brad was great.
Which one was Brad?
Brad was the gay Asian guy.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Just when you think everything's working out for the Asian guy.
Mm. Yeah. No, but I thought like his was an interesting character, and like, I mean, it has the oppressive dad thing, but it was like, it was interesting to see this movie with like, the rest, everyone else looks like jocks and cheerleaders.
But they really are a diverse group of jocks and cheerleaders.
Yeah, it is the United Colors of Benetton.
Brown girl, white girl, no, gay guy.
No African-American guy though.
No African-American, but they had a Latino fellow. So I guess that's all right.
I guess. Mm. You know, but then again, you know, you make your brown girl like a rampaging alcoholic. I'm not sure if that, you know,
I don't know if that's the kind of...
diversity, representation matters, you know?
Yeah. Truth or Dare is now in cinemas. Go check it out and let us know what you think. I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
I'm at Bahiwai.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.